Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Comedy Cartoon Crimes. Here we review crimes in your favorite comedy cartoons. And in this episode, we are going to be covering a favorite, Bob's Burgers. We're going to be covering two episodes today. Season 3, Episode 7, Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Season 3, Episode 20, The Kids Run the Restaurant. Before we get into the crimes of today's episodes, I want to give a little bit of background information for those who may have not seen the show yet. Our show takes place in New Jersey in an unnamed town along the coastline with our Belcher family of five, containing Bob, the husband, Linda, the mother, Jean, Louise, and Tina, their three kids. While there are lots of smaller crimes throughout the many episodes in the nine seasons, today we're going to be focused on two episodes that contain the biggest amounts of crime. So let's get right into it. We're going to start this podcast with episode 7 of season 3, Tyrannosaurus Rex. This episode starts off with Bob getting done shopping with his daughter Tina, and he decides to let her drive around the parking lot to get some experience. Now, she is only 13, which is going to come into play. As Bob lets Tina drive, she starts off fine as they are in a completely empty parking lot containing only one other vehicle in the dead center. Unluckily enough, Tina happens to hit the only car in the parking lot, leaving a small ding that is barely noticeable. However, due to Tina's supreme honesty, which you can see if you watch the show often, she refuses to drive away without leaving a note. This causes issues for Bob, as not only is his insurance going to go up for the accident, but his daughter was underage and she was the one driving. Bob's insurance adjuster, named Chase, then shows up at the restaurant later to assess the situation and get a sense of what happened. Now, Bob, wanting to avoid increased insurance rates as well as any, illegalities that may come with letting his underage daughter drive, proceeds to try and switch the story up to make it seem as if he was driving and it was his fault for hitting the car. During this segment, Tina starts to throw in wild details such as a Chinese water bird flying in and several things being in the car that are highly improbable, but would create a valid distraction at the time. Chase, being of a somewhat intelligent human, quickly caught on to the fact that they were obviously lying. This is where the issues began to set in, as Bob is attempting to commit insurance fraud. Later on, Chase invites the Belchers to attend a barbecue that he is hosting at his home. Bob is very skeptical of the situation as he attempted to commit insurance fraud and he believes that he may have gotten away from it. Trying to avoid all contact possible with Chase, he avoids going to the barbecue and really puts it off as not wanting to go. However, his family thinks it would be a great idea and they all really want to go, finally convincing Bob to attend. While at the barbecue, Bob is flipping burgers as he does so well. And Chase comes over, convincing Bob to step away from the grill and join the party and talk with everyone. Bob leaves Tina in charge of the grill, as she is the eldest and most responsible of the Belcher children, and Chase says that she'll be fine. Now it's just a little propane grill outside and nothing too big, so Bob agrees and goes to join in the party. Little did we know, Chase had spread unscented gasoline around in order to light his house on fire, burning it down so he could claim insurance money. Now, this is a huge deal, as not only does Bob feel extreme amounts of guilt for burning Chase's house down, it is really Chase using Bob in order to commit insurance fraud so that he can claim the massive amount from his house. Lastly, Chase then begins to blackmail the Belchers, telling Tina that Bob could go to prison for the insurance fraud that he tried to commit from the driving incident, It's quite ironic that he brings this up, as Chase committed even larger insurance fraud by burning his house down, as well as second-degree arson, but we'll get into that a little bit later. He attempts to blackmail the Belchers, trying to convince them to flood their basement in order to claim insurance money on the business. However, Gene always carries around a keyboard, which, if you watch the show, you would understand is a little bit of a inside joke, perhaps. And Tina, being very smart, decides to use this to capture Chase talking about how much he has committed insurance fraud and gotten away with it and how he'll never get caught. Tina then sends this to the FBI, using it to finally bring Chase down, concluding the episode. Now that you have an overview of the episode, we can dive into the actual crimes committed, as well as the punishments and my feelings on them. We can start off looking at Chase, who has the bigger issue of the two. Chase committed insurance fraud, which is commonly referred to in two forms, soft and hard insurance fraud. Chase committed hard insurance fraud, as not only did he deliberately burn it down, but he also most likely claimed value of over $75,000, as most houses in New Jersey are around $362,000. And judging by the look of the house and just how nice it was in general, we can assume that the insurance claim was greater than $75,000. Chase's insurance fraud could earn him a whopping 5 to 10 years in prison, as well as up to a $150,000 fine, according to the New Jersey government webpage. He also committed second-degree arson with intent to burn down his house, earning him another 5 to 10 years, as well as another up to $150,000 fine. That is a hefty punishment that I think is well-deserved, as not only is he cheating to get money, he also intentionally burned down his house, which contained many people in the backyard as he was hosting a barbecue, which could have put many lives in danger. Due to the NERA, or No Early Release Act, Chase could be forced to spend up to 85% of his sentence without early release, according to Criminal Lawyer New Jersey. I find that very interesting, as it seems to only happen in a majority of arson cases, which I would like to know the reasoning for that, but I think is a very interesting act that really allows them to serve their time and pay for their dues rather than being set free. While he received that, he could also get a conspiracy towards arson, as he clearly thought it ahead, explaining to Bob that it was all set up, and the unscented gasoline really sells it to show the planning. However, we do not have definitive proof. So, really, his total punishment could be anywhere from 10 to 20 years in prison, as well as up to $300,000 in fines, and he would be potentially forced to serve 85% of that sentence for the arson one, which could potentially drop his total time down. However, I think it was well-deserved. The second-degree arson is what really kind of is the worst. Insurance fraud, I understand using restitution and only having to pay back a certain amount. However, I do agree with the criminal aspect of it and forcing him to serve time. But the arson is really what gets me going, as not only did he burn down his house, he also put the lives of other people in danger and makes a joke in the episode about losing a cat in the fire, which turns out to just be an urn. But had that been a real animal, would have been taking the life of his pet just for money. Now we can move on to Bob's sentence, which probably wouldn't be that much, as really his own only crime was allowing the minor to operate a vehicle underage. Tina is 13, and the age of driving with or without parent supervision is 16. So that could have landed him around a $100 to $500 fine and possible jail time depending on the circumstances. However, looking as it was a almost completely empty parking lot, and he wasn't letting her, you know, recklessly drive around doing donuts, he was actually trying to get her experience, I don't think there'd be any jail time in this case. However, we can also look at insurance fraud as he did attempt to commit it, which they may overlook due to the fact that he then turned Chase in and was being blackmailed into it towards the end. However, he could potentially earn up to an 18-month sentence and owe fines of up to $10,000, as his only insurance fraud was really on his vehicle, which would be soft insurance fraud, as he did not deliberately ruin the vehicle, and the value was less severe. We are now going to look at Season 3, Episode 20, Kids Run the Restaurant. In this episode, Bob cuts his fingers while working in the kitchen and must go to the hospital to get stitches. Now, they leave the kids home alone and say, "Whatever you do, do not open the restaurant," giving them strict orders. However, knowing the devious Belcher children, the first thing they attempt to do is open the restaurant and run their family business. After failing to do that, the kids decide that it would be a great idea to turn the basement of the restaurant into an underground casino for them and their friends, thinking it'd be a great way to make money and little trouble could come out of it. Bob finally arrives at the hospital and after waiting gets admitted. He quickly learns that the doctor who is operating on him has never had a patient by himself yet, as he is a brand new doctor. This scares Bob, causing them to waste time, preventing them from getting home right away, and eventually the doctor's lack of practice leads to Bob's injury not being fully stitched up and reopening on the ride home, causing them to turn around and have to spend more time getting it stitched up once more. While this is going on, word quickly spreads throughout the neighborhood that the Belchers are running an underground casino out of their restaurant, and more kids begin showing up, with the kids bringing refreshments, as well as putting on a live performance with singing, really selling the whole casino vibe, and making sure everyone is having a great time, as Louise is quite the schemer and plans on making a lot of money out of this. However, the landlord, Mr. Fishoder, shows up and instantly knows what's going on, but decides not to say anything or report it to the authorities, but rather to participate in the gambling ring and proceed to play all the games. The kids end up losing a lot of money to Mr. Fishoder, as Louise proceeds to lose again and again in rock, paper, scissors. Finally, Bob and Linda manage to make it home, realizing what's going on, and the fact that they are now in quite a bit of debt to Mr. Fishoder. As well, some adults may dismiss the fact that the kids owed them money as they are just kids. He is very demanding and wants to receive his payment. Bob, using quick wit, realizes that his hand is completely in a fist due to the stitching, and it seems as if he's unable to throw paper or scissors as he has no access to his fingers, and challenges Mr. Fishoder to a game of double or nothing so that he can offset the debt and make some money in return. However, Mr. Fishoder gets really overconfident, believing Bob can't throw anything other than rock. Bob then splits open his fingers again, throwing scissors, causing him to win his money back, offsetting the debt, and concluding the episode in a somewhat happy way. With that out of the way, we can talk about the crimes that appear in this episode. And while not as drastic in jail time as last episodes, there are still some hefty fines that could be found for the Belcher family. We have running an underage casino, an also illegal casino, which racks up to a lot, as the fine for running an illegal casino can be $250,000, which is quite the hefty fee, as well as a potential 5 years in prison. However, looking at this, I don't think anything would happen, as it was the kids running the casino, not the adults, and they had no idea that it was going on. And it was also a one-time thing and not really, consistent or ever happened before. So I think that they may let that one slide, despite the fee and jail time being potentially high. We also have underage gambling going on, which in New Jersey is taken as a disorderly persons charge, leading up to a $500 to $1,000 fine, as well as for the minors, a suspension of their driver's license for 6 months, and if they are under 17 without a driver's license, the issuing of their license will be postponed for 6 months, which I find interesting, as underage gambling leads to them losing their driving privileges, which is quite the weird correlation. However, it does set the point across, as losing my license really hurt and kind of showed, you know, why you need to avoid doing these things. Never mind losing it for 6 months. I think that would really drive home the fact that they're not allowed to be gambling, it's illegal, and prevent it from happening again. So all in all, several crimes were committed throughout these episodes: insurance fraud, second degree arson, and allowing a minor to operate a vehicle, as well as underage gambling and running an illegal casino. Plenty of things happened, plenty of sentences could have been given, but as always, our cartoon is going to end on a happy note, and everything seems to go back to normal, with all crimes just being forgot about. But it is our duty to inform you of these crimes so that you can really understand the depth of what's happening illegally in your favorite cartoons. I would like to thank all of you for tuning in once again and being here to enjoy listening about your favorite cartoons and the crimes committed in them. Maybe next week we can look at a very popular favorite Family Guy, or any other TV shows that you guys really want to hear. Go vote for the next episode on our social media, Comedy Cartoon Crimes, and please be sure to share this with your friends if you felt that it was informational and beneficial to your knowledge. Thank you all once again. This is Brody, signing off.